The last time we were together in the book of Philippians, we were in chapter 3. And because it's been 2 weeks, I want to bring you up to where we are tonight, because it would not make a whole lot of sense if I didn't, and what I have to say tonight is very important. If you'll remember, in verse 17 of chapter 3, he says, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." And then he got into the meat of his concern. "For, as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame." And quintessentially, they define themselves by the fact that their mind is on earthly things. Now, you might have forgotten that, but that's where we were. We talked about that salmon going up the stream against a tide that is insurmountable apart from the grace of God. And it shouldn't shock you that it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. And so to stand flat-footed, as you hear me often say, and to move against that, you have a challenge before you. You need to keep in mind that you're not alone in that pursuit. Sometimes you'll feel alone, but you're not. And you are the last of the last. I know Jesus said He's coming and you're waiting, but it just can't be that much longer. I'm not here to prophesy or make a prediction of when that date is, but I think you need to keep locked on your mind that the consummate state of the kingdom that you are presently enjoying, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is at hand. And so I just hope you listen to that. There's signs everywhere, and it's serious. Now, I did not describe you. That's the world you live in. That's the tide you're going against. What I'm going to read tonight and the sermon of tonight is where you come in. And I want you to listen very carefully in chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, where the Bible reads as follows, "But our," and that's in the emphatic position in the Greek, so he's really trying to resoundingly tell you something, "our citizenship is in" what? And that's plural. So it would be in the heavens. And you're an astute crowd. You know what the heavens are. They're right here. They are beyond the planetary heavens, but they are contained in the planetary heavens, in the atmospheric heavens. It's around your head, inside and out of you, and goes right into your socks. Hey, Donna, how you doing? God bless you. I heard about your wrist. You glad I pointed you out in front of the whole group? But it says, "But our citizenship is in the heavens, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." Now, some of your translations might obscure that a little bit. Vile bodies, and so you're thinking down that line, but lowly is a great translation. It's talking about your body of humiliation, that which you are not yet, that glorious body that you anticipate that you do not yet have hold of. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You that You, Lord Jesus, are the King of glory, immortal, invincible, inconquerable, forever. In charge, sovereign, will bring everything in conformity with His will, even so much so that nothing in our lives is irredeemable. Because we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Move mightily in me, through me, and to, and through, and for, and around, and within Your people here tonight. As is always the case, we do pray that You forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus and Him only. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. I am an American by citizenship. My wife has dual citizenship. She is an American and she is from Switzerland. She is full-blood Swiss. She was brought over here as a child. Under the sovereign auspices of God, God knew that I needed a woman from another country here because I could not get along with American women, and I thank God for that. But I've got a picture in my bedroom of where she was born. It's called Frutigen, beautiful area. And I think about that sometime. This little girl was born there, but God would transport her here and let her experience the glory of being married to me. And I'm proud, by the way, to be an American. I love America. And if you're going to whine about the country, there's a lot of others you ought to check out. Tell you what, in our worst days, you got it made, honey. You made it to the promised land. It's a great country, and I love it. But I got to tell you, I'm most proud of another kind of citizenship. And Francis Schaeffer said one time, we're going to have to be careful wrapping the Bible in American flag. Because I'm going to tell you something. Some folks think just because they're patriotic, that they're Americans, that just automatically means they're saved and all right with God. And friend, I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to check out where this country's heading, step over in Europe and look at its post-Christian reality and understand that's coming your way quickly. Citizenship. I'm talking about a totally post-Christian world where you experience a paganism like you've never known. It's been creeping and now it's just coming in explosions. Get ready for it. Citizenship. Is what I want to talk to you about tonight. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you also are a fellow citizen with a citizenship that I'm most proud of. And so I know that everyone who comes here is not a believer, and I want you to know you're welcomed. Now, you can't join a church until you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you get baptized. But I got to tell you, at least you're not sticking your head in the sand and you're coming and you're being exposed to the truth, at least as how I understand it. You haven't made up your mind on it yet, but at least you're not running. And just the mere fact that you're here evaluating it in light of whatever worldview you hold to, I want you to know I commend you. And I know you're out there. Give me your little letters and your little emails and God bless you. I love every one of you and just keep coming. Just keep coming, because I believe truth need not fear evidence, and it will always be vindicated. And if I'm not right, I want to be straightened out. And if you're right, I want you to straighten me out. But if I'm right, I want you to repent and believe the gospel. So, if you're a believer then, I want to inform you that you are a citizen of a place, of a realm, really of a reality that you should feel is more distinctive than any description about you, and it is this. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you are right here, right now, a citizen of the heavens. That's pretty good. A citizen of the kingdom of God. Not only the reign of God, but the realm of God. You have a kingdom. You understand that? I could say something fancy like Willard does. I don't even like this statement because I don't think it explains anything. The range of your effective will. Does that help you any? It doesn't help me much. So let me clarify. How about your kingdom is what you have say over? You say, well, let me think about that. I want you to think about that. I want you to go through your day thinking kingdom. I'm a kingdom man. My wife's a kingdom woman. We have a kingdom marriage. We're raising kingdom kids. I want you to think kingdom. What is it that you have say over? What motions in your body? What words you speak? What machines you operate? What vehicles you go in? What job you attempt? I want you to begin thinking kingdom. What is it that I have say over? And then as you begin to investigate that, I want you to understand that God's kingdom is what He has say over. Now, you know how much that is? Let me go ahead and tell you. Everything that ultimately matters. Oh, I know for a brief period of time, there's an exception. You can actually, being created in the image of God, you can use your volition, your will, what you have say over. Actually, you are permitted to say no to God. You can turn it against God. You can reject God. You can rebel against God for a while. His project is so grand, so marvelous, so wonderful that He will not let it be disrupted. For what He's actually after is that you would emulate by His Spirit and His grace the character and power of Jesus, so much so that by the time He gets through with you, your character will be such that He can empower you to do exactly what you want to do. And I said it exactly like I wanted to say it. Because you see, when He's through with His project, He can empower you to do what you want to do, and everything you do will be precisely what He wants, because the consummate state will mean that what He has say over, you have given Him what you have say over in such totality that the union has reached its mystical and glorious consummation. And nothing in heaven or hell will stop God from His project, and He will not interfere with it until it's done. So you might as well get on your mind what God has on His mind. Getting what you have say over, surrendered, yielded, submitted to what He has say over, and then you're going to get linked up and find out that you can do far more than you ever could in and of yourself, and you will absolutely astound yourself and everyone around you. Sounds like a good plan to me. So then I have to say this. You are in the kingdom of the heavens now. You're in it. Well, right now, preacher, I'm in a chair. Right now, you're behind the pulpit. Right now, I came driving in here on a vehicle. I'm getting in one and leaving. I'm walking on solid ground. I'm going home. What do you mean I'm in the kingdom now? Oh, you're in it now. You're in it now. What blows my mind is that God has just given you a glorious illustration of this, and I wonder how many of us have praised Him for it. As you go through New Bern, and this place of all places, you better thank God you live here. This is a glorious place to live. It's the greatest secret of the South. It's a little resort town. A stunning place to raise your family. It is absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. They say if you live here 6 months, you won't want to live anywhere else. I can't imagine that you'd want to. It is a great place to live. It is beautiful. And it's known for its dogwoods and azaleas. And so what happens every spring? Plant life that looks dead for all practical purposes, actually in a dormant state, begins to take on a nature that is absolutely stunning. It begins to bud, a little hint of green, and this little yellow stuff starts clogging up your sinuses and getting on your beautiful, clean, black truck. And you see the little buds. And it happens so quickly, once that outer shell of the bud is broken, that one day you look and in all its glory it has sprouted and it is unbelievable. I don't know what those trees are. I think they're called Bradford pears. I never saw them before I came down here. You know, they just kind of shine their glory and show off very quickly, and about as quickly as you see it, it's gone, and just the green leaves. And when you see that beauty portrayed before your eyes, and remember what C.S. Lewis said, everything in creation testifies to a reality of God. Everything you see that is so stunningly beautiful to your eyes, as you can see with a naked eye materially, all that took place to make that happen was invisible to you. You didn't see any of it. There were processes going on, and suddenly you got to enjoy God showing off His beauty. And remember, beauty is nothing more than the goodness of God presented to the senses. You are to explore, scientists, you are to explore space. You are to look in nature. For what reason? To try to disprove God? Don't be a fool, in the words of God. You do it in order to worship Him, because it is the manifest glory of God where you can look at Him and say, you are something else. Now, if invisible reality can show up like that, invisible reality, imagine what's here tonight, not aware in terms of the naked eye. Now, when we say the kingdom is invisible, it does not mean it cannot manifest itself visibly and does so continuously. And God can turn on the lights anytime He would. If He turned it on right now so that your faith all of a sudden became sight, you would be staggered what is present in this room right now. It's happened. You need some biblical examples? Elisha. We are surrounded by an army. We spent tonight here, as Helper told him, and now the hills are filled with people. And Elisha goes out and cleans the sleep out of his eyes and says, God, open his eyes. Opens his eyes and he sees the hills filled with God's servants, angelic beings. There, right here, right now stuff. The kingdom is going out as I'm preaching the word of the kingdom. There are some spiritual dynamics whereby things are going on in you consciously and subconsciously that is affecting your spirituality so much so that I will guarantee you in short order some of it right here tonight, but other parts of it a little later on, you will begin to see emerging in and about and through your life. You believe that? Yeah. See, as a matter of fact, legalism fixates on the action. As long as you have the action right, it doesn't matter about the heart, but that is not Christianity. Christianity is a change of a heart that ultimately will result in a change of action. You become a different kind of person. Let me tell you something. When I was in seminary, I went to see Striper, a Christian rock band, and I was boycotted by seminary students as I went into the auditorium, talking about how godless they were and I shouldn't do it. That just propelled me to go see it. And then I would get me a stack of movies, and you didn't watch movies in seminary. I did. Why? Well, I like movies. And you didn't do this, and you didn't do that. And they all wanted to show you, try to distinguish themselves by saying, hey, look, we are the super spiritual, and if you really love Jesus, if you loved Him like we did, you wouldn't watch any movies. Matter of fact, we don't even have a TV in our house. Well, good for you. But let me tell you what happened to me. I never went that route. I knew I could never win that. Because when you go the legalistic route, that worm turns. Everything I'm pointing out about everybody else, they around me long enough, they can start pointing out about me. What I discovered was, as I tuned in with Jesus, I became a kind of person who didn't even think in terms of whether or not I watched movies or not. Now, there's just some movies I don't want to go see because I don't care to see them. Why? Because I'm a different kind of person. It's a person that doesn't enjoy that kind of thing anymore. If you do, that's between you and God. I just don't. And then there's other movies I enjoy. You might not. I don't get in on whether or not I'm do this or not do that, not do that, not do that. I work on Jesus changing the heart, and there's a natural, inevitable consequence that comes out that makes me a kind of person who wants to do and not do certain things. And the case is the same with you. I don't even look at the commands of Jesus in a way, oh, I've got to do that. What a killjoy. He wants to take all the fun from me. You know what I see the commands of Jesus being? A structure of reality. A structure of reality. You don't break it. You break yourself up against it. You live in the kingdom, or you're in the kingdom of the heavens now. Furthermore, you live in the kingdom of the heavens now. Now let me read this, because I haven't read it yet. Verse 20, A. Yeah. If you're ready, say amen. That's my stall tactic for a sip of water. But our citizenship is in heavens, the heavens. You're in the kingdom of the heavens. And you live in the kingdom of the heavens. I hope. Do you? All the rights and privileges of a king's kid are yours. You live to access, transport, and extend the kingdom of God. Now, what are you talking about, Steve? I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about. What happens if you, by your decision, choose to live in your kingdom instead of God's kingdom? You ready for this? He will let you. And even though, generally speaking, you are in the kingdom, there is an operation now that you are within whereby God has to teach you that as long as you go this route, you're on your own. And some of you are here tonight who are saying, you know, I'm about sick and tired of this God stuff, and I just wish He would leave me alone. Can I tell you something? The last thing you want on the face of this green earth is for God to leave you alone. That is not a good sign. God, go ahead and bother me. I'm glad you do. I remember just shortly before I got saved, I kept telling God, I'm coming home. Just hold out. I'm joining this party just in a little while longer. And then one day, I mean to tell you, I'll never forget as long as I live, every desire in me to know God was gone. I was so startled, I left the group of people I was with, and I got in the car, and I begged God, in my crazed state, do not give up on me. I'm coming home. I promise I'm coming home. But somehow, it just didn't ring true anymore, and God was tired of playing games. And quite frankly, I was too. You can live in the kingdom of God now as an apprentice of Jesus Christ. But if you do, then as you encounter life, what you have say over, you must submit and yield and surrender to Him so that He has say over what you have say over, and then you'll see the kingdom of God come in. Won't force it. He'll wait, and God's slow. You say, well, Steve, you have to go to heaven one day and tell Him that. I'll tell Him that. On my schedule, you were slow. God takes His sweet time. I told Him last week, you mean to tell me it's taken me 48 years to learn this? I don't understand it. I just had a breakthrough of late. 48 years? I have an idea I'm going to learn a whole lot more. All right, so if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, tell me if you buy it, you are a citizen of the kingdom of the heavens right here, right now. That means you're in the kingdom and you live in the kingdom, or at least you can, and you can access it, transport it, and extend it. Are you with me? Good, okay. Now, as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven or of the heavens, did you know that you have a longing inside of you for the consummate kingdom? Do you have that? It's a sign of salvation, by the way. I don't have it. Well, I'm going to be up here a little after the service night. You come on up here and we'll get you saved. How's that? Yeah, you're longing for the consummate state. You're sick of this mess. There's a longing in your heart. Where did that longing come from? It's from God. I'm reading Religious Affections right now by Jonathan Edwards. Don't read that unless you're secure in your salvation. I'll tell you that right now. I hear a rattle like a cage, buddy. And he was a part of the Great Awakening. He saw salvations, and he said there's fake salvations and there's real ones. And I want you to know the biblical distinguishing marks of genuine, authentic salvation. And I mean, he builds his case from the meticulous philosophical underpinnings of his theological statements, and then he exegetically goes right through it, biblically speaking, and I mean to tell you, maybe, arguably, one of his most classic works, The Signs of Authenticity. As citizens of the kingdom of the heavens, you long for the consummate state. Can I read that to you? But our citizenship is in the heavens, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I love how the English Standard Version puts it here. It says, but our citizenship is in the heavens, and from there we wait for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's closer. I think it's what he's saying. From the kingdom of the heavens, you wait on the consummate state of the kingdom of the heavens when the King comes. Isn't that good? You're getting taste now, but the consummate reality is on its way. Now, I made a statement a while ago. I think I need to prove it biblically. I said, do you long for the consummate state of the kingdom now? I hope so, because it's a mark of salvation. Can I read it to you? Listen to this. There's something you have in common with the creation. Can't help it. It says this, verse 22 of Romans chapter 8. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. You hear that? It is groaning to be clothed with its consummate status. Now listen to this, verse 23. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. Watch this. The redemption of our bodies. Creation groans. You groan. You don't want to be naked. You don't want to be unclothed. You are gravitating towards a consummate reality, and you're ready to get the show on the world because the creation is groaning, and you are groaning because you long for that state. Now, what are you here for? Why are you in this service tonight? Why are you drawing breaths? Why are you going to work? Why are you doing anything you're doing? Do you know who you are? People ask me this all the time, and they think, boy, you're awful arrogant to say you know this, but I know why you're here. I know where you came from, I know where you're going, and I know why you're here. You ready to hear it? This is what you are. You are an unceasing spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's great universe. That's it. This is just a minute little portion of time. You're going to glide right through as you are trained into what you'll be doing forever. Are you planning to live forever? You're in existence. You know you're not going out, don't you? You're not going out. You're going somewhere in eternity. It might be an eternity without God, but you're going to be alive. It can be an eternity with God, and it only will be through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, notice what he says is taking place during this process. He says that as we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, watch what happens, who by the power, The same power that spoke worlds into existence and sustains its existence, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that enables Him to bring everything under His control, the same power that makes God sovereign and in charge, and you not will do what? Will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. What does that mean? The first thing is you wait in confident expectation. Do you remember the old saying, standing on the tiptoes of expectancy? Hope is anticipation of good. You know what fear is? Anticipation of harm. And through confidence in Jesus, the sustaining reality of your life is to be a pervasive sense of well-being, which Scripture calls joy. And you have a confident expectation that everything's going to be okay. In the meantime, you do not have to have your way. In the meantime, if it's to be, it's up to me kind of theology does not have to grip your life. You don't have to anticipate harm. You can actually wait on God in confident expectation that everything's going to be okay. See, Jesus saw this as a God-bathed world, and He tried to communicate to us, in light of all the things you're afraid about, what you must understand is that ultimately, you are totally safe and secure with me. Nothing can ultimately harm you. You're going to have to re-engineer your thinking along those lines. He said what? Do not fear Him who can what? Kill the body, but fear Him who can destroy both in hell. See, ultimately, you cannot be touched. And this is what Jesus said. Just trace His life and you'll see what I'm talking about. What was it that He said when Pilate says, you better talk to me, don't you know I have the power to crucify you or set you free? Almost laughed at Him. Have any power over me? Unless it is given to you from above. How about the cross? Could He not have avoided that? My Father has 12,000 legions of angels that could rescue me at a single command. Jesus lived with this reality. He knew that nothing could happen. In fact, you go through John, they were going to throw Him off a hill one time and kill Him, and He walked right through the crowd, and the narrator says they could not harm Him because His time had not yet come. He understood this. And we need to understand this. We can wait in confident expectation. The fact that Jesus is coming back or you're going to Him one way or the other is not something for you to quake and rattle your knees with. It is something for you to anticipate, to surge your heart with hope, and to look forward to it. Now watch this. Let's say that did you know that trust is essentially waiting? Okay. How many of you here tonight, raise your hand if you've had your reputation tarnished by somebody else at one time in your life or the other? Raise your hand. It's never happened to me, but I figured it had happened to you a few times. All right. This is what the Bible says to me, and I have a choice to believe it or not. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Now He says that if I delight myself in Him, that if I commit my way to Him, that if I trust in Him, He says He'll do this. I love how English Standard Version says, and He will act. He will make the justice of my cause like the noonday sun and bring about total vindication of what I'm trying to do. But you know what the next verse says? Be still and wait patiently on the Lord. See, I like all the rest of that part, but I don't like the waiting part. Well, waiting is essentially trust. When you have to wait on what you're being promised, you're trusting God for it. But what if you waited with confident expectation? I'm cooking some things in prayer right now. Every time I'm going to my knees, I'm cooking them in prayer. And I look every day that God might answer them. God taught me this back in seminary. Remember I lost my Bible, my quiet time Bible? And I said, there's no way I can lose that Bible. I've got to have that Bible back. All my notes with Pete George are in that. God, I've got to have that Bible. In all the things in the universe, can I please have that Bible? I went out every day for 3 years in New Orleans looking for that Bible to be in that bin. I didn't know where it's coming from, who found it, saw my name in it, sent it. I just knew it was going to happen. Never happened. 2 more years went by. 5 years later, I cooked that thing for God Almighty. I got a call from Ted Stone. He says, you're not going to believe this. He said, I had cleaned out my trunk 5 years ago, put a bag over it inside of the basement, and I looked in it, and guess what I found? Your Bible. And I got that Bible today under lock and key, but I got it. Secondly, and very quickly, I'm done by 7, you experience continuous transformation. Look in verse 21. Who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will what? Transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Are you undergoing transformation right now? By the way, let me ask you something. How being a Christian means that your mind is being transformed. Transformation of the mind. As Jackie Puz, is she here tonight? Jackie calls it stinking thinking. There's to be a transformation of your mind from stinking thinking. Now, what you might need to do is memorize a verse that says that very thing. Listen to this. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Watch this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Transformed. There's a lot of scripture about this. I'm on to something. I can't share it with you tonight. I wish I could, but I got to make sure I'm right about it before I do. If I'm right about this, it's been a major breakthrough in my life, something I've searched for all my life, didn't even know you could do. And especially for those of you who are anal retentive, those of you who are type A personalities, who have to have all the pluses together and all, dotting all the I's, and the perfectionism drives you crazy. If I'm right about this, I've got a stunning breakthrough to you. So those of you who have that problem, you might want to see me after I see this works out. But you are experiencing continuous transformation. If that's true, say amen. Amen. If that's not true, what does that tell you? You're in trouble. Now, you've heard me say it 100 times before. You might not be impressed with what you see before you tonight, but if you knew where I came from, you would be. I've come a long way, and you better have too. Do you have a long ways to go? Boy, you better believe it. You got a long ways to go. But you better be on the road. You know, there's one thing, being on the road and falling off from time to time. Another thing, not being on it at all. There needs to be some transformation. Then finally, here's your consummate promise. You will be like Him. We'll transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Hey, do y'all get tired of your bodies? Someone said, I didn't know when I hit 30. I didn't know when I hit 40, but I knew when I hit 50. And some of you say, you wait till you get to 60 or 70. What's the problem with these bodies? Do they ache? They get tired? Do they lust? Desire? Get angry? A habitat for habits, did you know that your character is the sum total of your habits, most of them lodged in the body, which can operate without you having to even consciously think of it? And to transform them, spiritually speaking, you have to work in a way that gradually breaks those habits and establishes new ones. It works just like it would to learn to play the guitar or the piano or anything else. But you'll be like Him. This is what Scripture says. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3:2 and 3. Listen to this as I close. If you're ready, say amen. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect or contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And then all of you know this one. In chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians 16 through 18, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Bless your heart, won't it? Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So what? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. And what is unseen? The kingdom of God. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Did you know that Enoch walked with God and he was no more? Did y'all know that? You know what that means? It's very possible that he didn't experience death. Elijah went to heaven in what? Fiery chariot. Alive. Did I ever tell you that story about Enoch? He went out and walked with God every day, because that's what Scripture says. He walked with God and was no more. And each day they got a little further from Enoch's house. And so they'd have to stop after a certain period of time, and Enoch had to have enough time in the daylight to get back home. He'd go a little further the next time. And then one day they were so far from home, Enoch could not get back home before the dark. And God said to him, you know, you're closer to my home than yours. Why don't you come on home with me? That's what it's going to be. I'm going to walk, and then one day it's going to be over. And then y'all like my whoosh. Whew. Wasn't anything like I thought. Glory! I'm home. And then I'll get to look forward to that day, and you will too, when these lowly, sinful, aching bodies will be transformed and be like His glorious body. And we will reign with Him in our consummate reality, in our consummate state, forever and ever with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Glory to His name.